And we're good, sir. CD, yeah. It's good to have you back. It's been... I've been away.
Mm-hmm.
Ate way too much damn food. Hung out with a shit ton of family. Shit was rough. It's been rough out here, man. It's been rough out here. I don't think you understand when I say I ate too much food. My dude, there was like 2 trays worth of ribs.
Mm-hmm.
A whole tray of barbecue chicken. Like every kind of meat imaginable at this dinner. It was absurd. And I did
and
like...
And then you rolled your ass back here.
Yeah, and then I had to somehow get my ass onto a plane, fly back, drive home. Don't ask me how I did it, man. It was rough.
Yeah, you had to convince them to not charge you for 2 seats.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that my pants button was like screaming in sheer pain.
It's like that Spider-Man 2 meme with the train.
Yeah. It was screaming in agony. It was rough. So, I'll talk about a little bit what I've been up to, though depending on who you've talked to, you've probably heard through the grapevine I've been working a lot on Final Fantasy X. That has led to some Twitter nonsense I've been engaging in where I would just casually be like, wish me luck, everybody. And I will say, so far, everything's worked out in my favor, right? Because I had, like, plans to, like, stop the 10 playthrough and just post Persona 5 until I was done with what I was doing in 10. But then I would, like, get it done in, like, a reasonable amount of time. And I'm like, well, I guess not. I guess I got to keep on playing the fucking video game then. Fuck it. All right, here we go. So, 10 is a weird game. So, every character has an ultimate weapon, as they do, right? But that ultimate weapon by itself doesn't do anything. It has no abilities, no nothing. So, in order to use this ultimate weapon, you have to collect 2 items. A sigil and a crest for each of these weapons. The crests are easy. You'll probably find... Like, shit, man. At this point in the game, I've found, like, 4 just sitting in random chests throughout the game. Like, they're not hard to find. The crests are super easy, right? Most players, without any help or, like, any need for a guide, will find at least...
They just stumble upon them.
They'll find at least, like, 2 crests, right? Crests are easy. The sigils, though... They some bullshit. They some straight bullshit. They are not. I'm gonna have a hot take, really spicy take. I don't think a normal person would obtain a sigil without a guide. I don't think you would. I think a normal person will go through the entire game. Maybe they'd collect an ultimate weapon. Maybe if they even think to do it or even think to look for them. But collecting a sigil. Like, without looking it up or knowing how to get it? Nah, fuck that. I don't think that's happening.
Okay.
So, depending on which communities you've been around, you've probably heard about a few of these. Because some of them are notorious. One of them is having to win a chocobo race, where the chocobo doesn't listen to you all the time, and finish the race first place with a time of 0.00. Yes. Yeah, you have to finish the race with the time. So, allow me to explain.
I'm guessing that's a remaining timer.
No, that is the timer you finish. Okay, so the way it works, is there are 2 things that are in this race. There's balloons that you have to collect. The balloons lower down your potential, lower down your time, right?
Okay.
But there's also birds that you have to not get hit by. If you hit by birds, you're pretty much setting yourself back. I think it's by like 2 seconds, 3 seconds, somewhere like that, right? Because you get hit, you recoil, and then you start running again. So it's like 2 to 3 seconds. So, there's a lot of RNG here, right? So there's basically three parts to this course. There's the opening straight where you start the course. There's the secondary part where you turn off the straight and you go up, you go straight again. And then you turn and you head towards the ending. In order to do this, you have to collect bare minimum. I've done this now. four balloons per section.
Mm-hmm.
At least, bare minimum, four balloons. That's 12 balloons. And that also means you cannot get hit by a single bird. Where RNG can fuck you is at the start, depending on where the balloons are placed, the guy you're racing against will just collect all of them. Because they might be, because like he's here, you're here. And the balloon configuration might be in such a way where he's most likely going to get them, right? They're all in front of him. So now you're fucked. He gets like five balloons. You're not.
Then you can instant restart.
No, you can't. you can't. You have to finish the. You have to fit. I wish.
Yay.
I have to finish the race.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, fine. You know, so that can happen. Sometimes a balloon configuration just means he just wins the first set, and you know, at that point, I have to collect what, eight on the seconds part of the race, and then four on the last part of the race. Yeah, not happening. That's not possible. Okay,
how many are there per segment at most?
I think the opening segment, I think there's five, six tops, but usually that sixth one is in such a weird location that you're not going to be able to grab it. It's usually located in such a way that for you to grab it, you'd waste more time veering off to go get it than you would gain from just skipping it. So this took me like 2 hours, which was this took me 2 hours to do. 1 hour of just me bumblefucking with it. The other hour was me looking up like two YouTube videos, getting an idea of how the race worked, like fundamentally. And then it was like a solid hour of real ass attempts. You know what I mean? Like real educated. All right, I have a plan. I can do this. The other sigil I collected is probably the worst thing in video game history. Dodging 200 consecutive lightning bolts. If you've ever heard someone talk about 10, you have heard them mention this one fucking sigil. Because nobody wants to do this shit. It is terrible. So I started it, and I already had an idea what I needed to do, but I took some advice from a YouTube video, which is like, look, don't waste your time counting. He's like, set a timer for like 23, 25 minutes and just dodge lightning bolts until your timer's up. You'll more than likely hit 200. Like, he did it. He hit 200 in like 18 minutes. So I was like, I'm like, okay, cool. I gave myself a little extra, so if I wanted to like stop, wipe my hands because they're getting a little sweaty, and resume, you know what I mean? I have a buffer. Okay. So my last attempt, because I had fucked up pretty hard a few times. Like I would get like 10 minutes in, fuck up. I'm like, well, that's nowhere close. Fuck it. Try again, get 15. I'm like, ah, fuck it. There we go again. Shit. So my very, very last attempt, I fuck up in the dumbest way possible. I fuck up. I press the button twice. I get hit by lightning. I'm fucking... I click on my phone, and I'm like, I have 5 minutes left, right? There's 5 minutes left in the timer. So I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm gonna go check. I'm like, I'm gonna go check. That's like the best run I've had all day. I'm just gonna go check. I did it. I got 200. In fact, I got 208. Cool. I got 218. So...
Woo. All right.
Cut it close.
Good.
Cut it hella close. Never doing this shit again, man. Never, ever doing this shit. Once I'm done with Final Fantasy X this time, I'm never touching this shit again. Ever. I will play the game for the story, and that is it. I am never doing this nonsense. This is not... Calling this fun is a very, very large stretch of the word fun. You have to stretch what the definition of fun means to arrive at this, at what I am doing now. There's a very large stretch of what that word means, sir, and it is not it is not the experience I am living through.
Even Mr. Fantastic would be struggling with that one.
Yeah, that's you'd have to really stretch the word to arrive where I am. And that's it. That's it. I would talk about Persona 5, but I don't have much to report there. Final Fantasy X has been where 90% of my life. my productive life has been invested in. Now, sir, I saw you. I know you've been playing a particular game.
Yes, indeed.
I'm in
a particular eight people journey game.
Yeah.
Well, otherwise called Octopath Traveler.
Well, welcome to the club, sir. It only took you like three. It took you like 3 years to get here, but
a few years, yeah, give or take.
It took you a couple years to get here, but you're here now, so it's all good. Mm-hmm. Welcome to the club.
Yeah. Well, let's see. Where should I start? First off, I took Hanit as the first character.
Okay. Yeah. Valid.
The Huntress.
That's what I did. Mm-hmm. Valid. Valid. I agree.
Yeah.
Okay. Valid.
She, from what I've seen of the game before, she seemed to be a pretty good choice as a starting character. Because I do like that kind of setup. With she's a close combat focused character mainly. Although she has two different weapon types at the start, which is decent for the whole weakness system, and her additional pet that she always has, Linde, which that one's quite useful, especially against groups, if the right move is selected, which is kind of random there.
And that's why I never use Linde. I refuse to put my life in the hands of something I can't control.
Yeah, I'll say in most of the trash mob scenarios, it worked out fine. Even if it didn't, even if not the sweep was selected, but the pounce move, even that did good damage, and the rest of the party could do enough to get it done. And let me think. All right.
I forgot to have my sign up. All right, we good.
As you were, sir. All right. Yeah, so let me think. Yeah, and then I just went along and gotten a few next characters. I think, yeah, the thief was the next one, and then
he's the next easiest
Ophelia.
One. Yeah, she's easiest because she's not too far off.
Yep. I went pretty much with which one is the next closest one, which was, essentially then the thief, then Ophelia, then Cirrus, then, we think...
I feel like Alphen should have been...
Yeah, Alphen, yep. That's that one I got, and then Olberic, and then Primrose. In that,
I vibe.
Yeah, and I've currently pretty much done all the chapter ones, and now, we get to one of the topics that you like to talk about with this game.
We're good. Yeah, that's just wherever we were. Sorry.
So yeah, I was about to start in on the topic of how would we call it? Balancing, essentially, in Octopath Traveler.
Yeah, or the lack thereof.
You could say that. Because obviously at first it's, you collect your characters, and at the start, once you get new characters in your party, the balancing curve goes up. So enemy areas become more difficult per character, so up to your four characters, then you have essentially hit what the game is going to be like in those areas.
Correct.
And depending on how much time you spend with your characters that you collect, that goes up a bit faster than your party goes up.
Yeah, quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. And then, once you're there and you've collected all your characters, well, then you look at your character levels and you look at the recommended character levels for Chapter 2.
Yeah.
And you notice a slight discrepancy there.
It's not just me. It can't be. Dude, I have received so many comments about how this is a non-issue.
Uh-huh.
I receive literally dozens of comments of people saying this video doesn't need to exist. You can beat this. This game is able to be beaten with one character. This video has no reason to exist. Anybody could just look up speedrun strats. This wouldn't be a problem. What are you complaining about? I'm not even kidding.
Yeah. I mean, sure, the game can probably be beaten with one character because then there's no difficulty jump.
Yeah. There's no...
As much.
Yeah, there's no...
If you don't... I mean, I'm not sure if that can be done. If the game... I'm guessing the game does allow you to just take your character and then go through your chapters without collecting the others.
You don't have to collect the characters.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because that's... obviously, if you don't, then the game doesn't scale the enemies up, so you probably have less of a problem there. Although, obviously, the whole using the weaknesses of the enemies probably also doesn't work quite as well because one character does not go through all those things, certainly not at the beginning.
I think
later on more probably because you can find your sub jobs through the hidden altars, mm-hmm. but even that will probably not go through all of the weaknesses.
And
a good amount.
To answer your question that you asked, you could actually collect sub-jobs now if you wanted.
Okay. I just need to find them somewhere. Okay.
Yeah. You could collect them now. Right. And it wouldn't... Mm. I mean, might not be the most enjoyable experience depending on which areas you have to walk through, but it is doable. Yeah. I've done it, so you can do it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's just, you have to get to the areas and then it's there anyway. All right. Good.
Yeah.
Because, go on.
You first. It's fine.
All right. Because I looked at the character levels there and at that point, Hanit was around, I think, level 21. And the other characters, obviously, depending on usage, a bit lower or significantly lower. I've been mostly using Hanit, then whichever character I added, then Cirrus, and then Ophelia. That was essentially my main party. The second slot was the one that I switched out after I got all four. At the beginning, obviously, it was Therion the Thief. So he had a good amount of levels, and at this point, obviously, Cirrus and Ophelia have a good amount of levels. They're, I think, two or at most three levels below Hanit, so they're pretty good. But then the others are around level 14, 12, and Primrose at that moment was 9.
Yeah, that's going to happen.
And the lowest Chapter 2 recommendation is level 21.
Yeah, that's gonna happen.
A little bit of a discrepancy there, which is not helped by the fact that there, in contrast to other JRPG games, there is no way to give your off-party members any experience.
No, there isn't. You have to grind them bitches out. It's not.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not going to make excuses, but I'm going to go on a limb and assume to some degree. I'm going to make the assumption. I don't think it's a good assumption. I think it's a poor game design assumption, but I'm going to make it anyways. Uh-huh. That the devs don't intend for you to play the game with more than four characters. I think that's a poor design choice to have eight and not assume you would not use more than eight.
not use more than four. That is my core.
Especially
belief.
Since that would mean, yeah, you'd have to do two playthroughs to experience all the stories.
Fundamentally, you'd be grinding out like twice. Or if you're me and you're an absolute madman, you have multiple grinding sessions to keep everyone powered up. It's important to know that Hanit is locked to your party till you finish your story. So
yeah, all the main characters are locked to the first character you choose is locked until that story is completely through.
Believe me, she will outlevel just by virtue of her being in your team. Because the way I did it, where I played through a chapter with each character, the way for my playthrough, by the time I finished hers, she was. I think by the time I finished,
yeah, she's gonna be massively.
Yeah, she
above
was
the
massively
rest.
Leveled compared to everybody else.
Yeah, you'd be way above the recommended levels for her chapters, especially in the last, the third and fourth.
But here's the thing, CD. Here's the cherry on the cherry on the cake. It doesn't fucking matter because the game will sometimes just kill you out of spite. Sometimes the boss. Look, I have played some of these bosses. Perfectly. And sometimes the boss just says, fuck you, you die anyways. Or sometimes the boss just rolls enough dice and petrifies my entire team, killing me. It happens.
Yeah, I can believe that. I haven't had that scenario yet.
Oh, you when it gets
but
when
it's gonna happen, I'm sure.
When it gets down to the final chapters for a lot of these characters, it's a roll of the dice. Like, it really is. It's RNG as fuck. Like, some of them, you'll stomp right through. And then some of them, it's like, lol, guess what? I rolled well on my dice rolls. All your team is petrified. You die. Or too many turns
have
gone by.
Yeah, I had stuff like that. And I had stuff like that in one or two of the fights. I think one of them was a boss fight where... I think most of my party was asleep.
Yeah.
And that was then for, multiple times. Obviously, after another attack, my character wakes up again. But the fun thing was, okay, so the enemy decides not to use an attack, but puts me to sleep again. And again. Didn't do any damage from what I remember, but still, that's kind of annoying. And
yeah,
that kind of thing could turn out pretty bad if it happens in a different combination.
Yeah. Like, as much as I loved my experience, it does get down to the point where it's like you can play incredibly well. And sometimes it just feels like the bosses flip enough coins. Roll enough good rolls on their dice, and they just curb stomp the fuck out of you. And it's like, Jesus, I played really well. How did I lose?
Yeah, and I think in one of the boss fights, the one for Ophelia, I think in that one I was pretty close to getting the curb stomp effect because those additional enemies that the boss summons have a countdown.
Yeah.
They say, 3 more turns. 2 more turns. And I don't know what exactly happens then, but I am suspecting it's some kind of massive party-wide big damage that's gonna happen.
Yeah, some shit you don't want to have to deal with.
Yeah, exactly. And since there are 3 of those wisps, I think it is, ice wisps or something, I think, and since there are 3 of them, I'd imagine once those 3 turns are up, yeah, that's done.
Yeah, like...
if those 3 are still alive at that point.
And, like, I'm not even going to get into, like, utility for certain characters. Because utility, the thing about utility with some of these characters is that you can kind of bypass some of, like, the blatant flaws some characters have just by pairing them up with another, with a sub-job, depending on the sub-job you want. And you can bypass quite a few things with the sub-job system to the point where I have to ask, maybe you gave us too much freedom sometimes. Because some of the things you could do with the sub-job system legitimately destroys
breaks the game.
Balance, kind of. Because, like, what was it? There's a skill, I think, in Merchant where if you go high enough through the Merchant tree, you can unlock this for any class as long as you pair them up with Merchant then grind them out. Where it cuts all their SP costs in half.
Ah, yeah, that's gonna be a very good one for Cirrus.
Right. The thing is, that's good for almost anybody. Like,
but especially for him, given his ma area of effect spells.
It's
because,
like,
even his most basic spells are all enemies.
Yeah, it's like, you get stuff like that. You get stuff where it's like you can cut down on encounter rates no matter who's with you, depending on how you want to grind those out. You can stop.
Although that one is a pretty early one.
Yeah.
Because I think it's Cirrus that gets that one as, I think, even his first.
Yeah, probably.
His first passive. Yeah, that's, I think, his first passive that you get. So after you have, I think, was it 3 or 4 skills? You get that one unlocked and you can use it to decrease that. But I don't know why you'd want to, because that gives you even less levels over time.
It has utility if you're trying to, like, go to super high level areas when you're not supposed to. Like,
yeah, I suppose for stuff like that, yeah.
If you want to, like,
specific utilities.
Yeah, if you want to, like, sequence break, or if you want to go to a very specific area to get access to weapons early, there's utility to not getting into encounters, because higher level enemies will curb stomp the fuck out of you for free.
And, yeah, that's true.
And you've probably run into this, because I know there's enemies I know you've run into where it's like you'll have fairly reasonable encounters, and then you'll run into, like, a unique enemy that just has way too fucking much HP.
Yeah, it's essentially a half boss. It's essentially a mini boss level
way
encounter.
Way too much HP. And it's like
massive HP in comparison to regular enemies, and deals a big amount of damage in comparison as well. Like, the normal enemies would deal, let's say, 40 at most. Those enemies do 100, 200.
Yeah, sounds about right.
And sometimes even higher.
Yeah, sounds about right.
And sometimes they have party attacks, so each character gets 150 damage or something like that. So, yeah, okay. You have a big amount of HP, and then if I analyze you, even if he's almost in the red, it's still a high several hundred HP.
Yeah, it's very important to remember. I had to do this a lot, is, like, even when I see that a boss was, like, in the red, that doesn't mean they're almost dead. Them being in the
red means they're, I think, in the a third of his max health. Something like that. It's yellow is probably 2/3 and red is probably 1/3.
Yeah.
Something like that.
It's not the kind of
almost done. You're not close to beating it. No, that's not the last 10% or so. Nope. Not at all.
So what did you think about Therian's first boss fight with the butler? the way they set that up, where he puts the bracer on him, and he's like, wait a minute, old man, what the hell? And then it's like, you get to fight the butler. It's like...
I mean, the boss fight itself, I didn't have much of a problem with. That one was very doable. But the story part of it, yeah, that was funny.
I thought I think my biggest issue with Octopath is that there's a lot of really interesting things they set up, but they don't actually do anything with story-wise for these characters. And Therian's, like, the biggest offender. His story is the biggest offender, because there are so many things you could do with what they just slapped on to him that bracer, you know, the thing that's supposed to show he's a criminal.
Yeah.
But they don't do anything with it. And that's so frustrating because it should impact how his gameplay for his story should go. Like,
that's true. Yeah, that's true. But the game in general has a very strong divide between story and gameplay.
Yeah, very,
very strong divide. Yeah. It's pretty much two separate planes.
Yeah, I'm not. I still haven't.
Not even to mention, if you think about it, if you use your the path actions of all, each character, it becomes a straight up comedy.
Yeah, a little bit.
You go into the towns, you challenge each villager with Hanit. They are laid out flat. You steal the stuff from them. You allure them or guide them with either Ophelia or Primrose, if a character is strong. And this isn't the party of heroes either. Even on the light side of the two, this isn't the party of heroes. This is a chaotic neutral at best.
This is a band of near murder hobos. I beat you up, I rob you, and then I force you into working for me. Yeah, I think I've seen this before. Pretty sure Kingpin's tried this in a couple of Spider-Man episodes. Pretty sure I've seen this before.
This is a group tsunami that goes through the whole world, essentially.
Yeah.
this is absolutely story here, gameplay there, connection none.
There is. I will attest that there is. There's a very weird and interesting, like, sub thing that develops through each of the characters, like, final chapters, because when they reach the conclusion, you learn something about this overall arcing thing in the background. But again, it only makes sense if you played most of them, right? If you only play like two or three characters, you're not gonna get the full picture. Like, I played all eight, and by the time I finished all eight, I'm like, oh no. Because, like,
yeah, that's it. Story-wise, I can believe that they can do stuff with that. Like,
all the characters are, like, unwittingly involved in a conspiracy, right? But they're all involved in this conspiracy at different points during this conspiracy's, like, unraveling. So, like, Tressa is involved towards, like, the end, right? Like, by the time she gets involved, most of the conspiracy's been dealt with. Kind of. But then you have a character like Therion. He's involved in a really interesting spot in the conspiracy. He just doesn't know it yet. Right?
Yeah, I can imagine.
And then, like, Ulbricht is involved, but his involvement isn't really. He doesn't even know it. He doesn't even think much of it. He's just kind of like, oh, you guys are just doing some weird shit. Well, I'm still beating the shit out of you, so.
And then obviously Primrose, her start makes it instantly clear there's something going on.
Yeah, they're all involved.
Something big.
They're all involved in an overarching conspiracy. The problem is that you have to go through a bunch of side quests at the end to unlock the rest of it. And I don't think a lot of players are going to do that. Like, I don't think most players play through all eight. I'm sorry, I just don't. I don't think I don't think most players play through all eight, let alone play through two or three, let alone play through four. Like, I don't think most players do. And then I don't think most players are going to have the patience or the willingness to have to deal with how the side quests work, because it's not as straightforward as other games are.
Yeah, you have to figure out which path action you need for each.
Yeah, it's not inherently clear.
And if you don't have that character with you, you have to go back to the inn and switch out.
Yeah.
Which, that's not good. Not, that's uh, That's a pretty bad design decision as well.
Yeah, not great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the game overall, yeah, still pretty fun, but given all that, I'm probably not going to do it in big sessions because the fighting would probably, would probably be a bit much.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot. I'm not going to lie to you. And I'm someone who dropped like 90 hours into mm-hmm. this fucking game. It's a fucking lot. I'm going to keep it real with you.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to portion it out, but I'm going to keep at it.
All right. Good for you, man.
Yeah. All right.
So, do you want to talk about you want to talk about breaking NDAs today?
Let's go.
Cool. All right. So, there a streamer was caught out in the rain in the dumbest way possible for breaking multiple NDAs, or at least one major NDA in the process, in leaking information. This individual whose Twitter name was The Real Insider had a track record so far recently of leaking the names, or at least the code names, of many of the Ubisoft properties that were going to be announced.
And so he was probably involved in the leaks before the last Assassin's Creed stream, yeah. I'm guessing.
Mm-hmm. So, you know,
no wonder some of those were true.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, this kind of came out to sort of be a bit of a problem, right?
Uh-huh.
Well,
oh yeah, NDAs are there for a reason.
So, this guy... This fucking guy. Okay, so I'm going to explain this in a way that makes sense. So I bet you he did this on mobile, because I've almost done this on mobile. Because on my mobile version of Twitter, sometimes it will default me back to the turn-based Cynix. And sometimes and it won't always default me to Reza Basso, my actual Twitter account. So somebody responded to him. Okay, somebody responded to his leaker account, The Real Insider. And then this actual legend didn't respond to that tweet with The Real Insider. He responded to that tweet with his Twitter account.
Whoops.
Yeah, whoops. Now... he did exactly what I figured he would do. He deleted his tweet and then very quickly deleted The Real Insider account, which was a major overcorrection, sir. A major overcorrection. Like, deleting The Real Insider was probably the dumbest thing you could have done. Because at that point, you've essentially proven you're guilty. Like, replying to a tweet... you could, like, plausible deniability or something. You might have been able to talk your way out of that. But deleting But deleting The Real Insider just after you did this, not the brightest idea. Not the brightest idea. Now, the individual in question here is the YouTuber Dan Allen. Like I said, he basically outed himself. And what made this better is that he had, as The Real Insider, a couple of Twitter exchanges with Press X to Jason. And that kind of left Jason Schreier a little jaded with this man. So when this all came out, Jason, being an investigative journalist, proceeded to do... imagine this, CD, some investigative journalism.
Well.
Now, for those of you that don't understand what this means, the last time Jason did investigative journalism in a way like this on the internet, it involved someone plagiarizing and this individual saying, well, if you can find proof of me plagiarizing, feel free to show me because I'm not. And then Jason went, excuse me, sir, I'll take that deal. Bet.
If I remember correctly, the entire internet went, bet.
It's like, bet? All right. And then Jason,
hold our beer.
Yeah, and then Jason proceeded to crack his knuckles, dig in, and find multiple examples. So, here's the thing. I don't care why he did it. I don't care. I don't want to hear excuses. I crucify this man. I know that sounds harsh, but leaks are already a thing as it is. And if you really want to make a statement, if you really want to stop some of this shit, put this man on the cross. Stab him in the ribs. Stab him in the fucking ribs with the spike. And call it a day. Crucify this man. Because at the end of the day, like, it's not like he's never really apologized. He's never in his I'm sorry video, he apologizes for disappointing people, but he doesn't like outright say what he's done wrong. It's the same thing we ran in with Moosin. Like, he didn't really apologize for what he did until, like, what, was that like a year, 2 years later? Like, he didn't outright, remember? Like that, he made that actual apology video where he legitimately listed out all the majority of the things he did. Like, no, I don't have a lot of sympathy. I really don't. Like, you knew what you were doing. You did this. And then you, like, you want to try to play it off and tell people, don't spread rumors, this could ruin me. Bro, what do you mean, this could, nigga, you could ruin yourself. Bruh, you did this to yourself. What are you talking about? This is you, my dude. Like, so I'm going to be honest. If I don't see Suits, if I don't see some kind of a thing brought up against this dude for what he did breaking NDAs, I'm gonna be a little upset. I don't think that's unreasonable, because you gotta set precedent. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You gotta establish the boundaries. Yeah. And if he's just gonna break them, you know, well, fuck you, buddy.
Yeah, I mean, depending on what's in the NDA,
fuck you, buddy. Yep. I ain't got no love for you. Sorry, my dude. You're not getting a lick of sympathy out of me on this one. You know, you fucked around, and now guess what? You finna to find out. You finna to find out. That's what's gonna happen. I'm gonna leave it at that. Dan Allen Gaming, you are going to find out the consequences of your actions. One way or another. Hey, CD. Do you remember Cyberpunk?
Yeah, certainly.
Yeah, turns out it's doing well.
Yep. Quite well.
Turns out Cyberpunk is doing pretty damn well.
Yep.
Turns out Cyberpunk might be on the up and up. It might be in recovery, if not recovered.
I could say that. Thanks to a certain anime that got out.
Yeah, the thanks to an anime that turned out to be really good. Cyberpunk 2077 has passed the all-time Steam peak concurrent players for The Witcher 3. With Cyberpunk at the time when this was done, which was September 24th, with Cyberpunk at 104.8K and Witcher 3's all-time peak being 103.329.
Yeah, and just recently Cyberpunk got even higher than that.
Well, yes it did.
230K.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, I don't necessarily.
Good on them.
Yeah, good on. I mean, good on you for the anime for making a good piece of media, drawing attention to your thing. Because I'm sure we saw the same thing when The Witcher show came out, didn't we? I'm pretty sure there must have been a similar knockout effect.
Yeah, I think that was probably essentially when that peak for Witcher 3 happened, because the Netflix show came out, 2019. So, essentially 3 years ago. So that probably had to do with that as well.
Hmm. Hey, CD.
Yes?
Do you remember Splinter Cell?
Well, vaguely.
It's been a long time since we've had a Splinter Cell game.
Yep.
And
quite some time.
Apparently, there is now talks about a Splinter Cell remake to update its story for a modern day audience.
What exactly needs to be updated there?
It's an espionage story. What are you updating? What? Like, okay, I'm a date myself here. I've actually beaten the original Splinter Cell. I played through it on PC. Like, I beat it years ago. I've played through the entire game. I would
Did
like
that have any current event references in it?
No. I didn't think so, at least.
Yeah, so it's probably what exactly they want to change there?
What are we updating? I don't really feel like this game needs you to. I don't feel like Splinter Cell needs you to change anything outside of, I don't know, the CIA mission. That would be great if you could make that not terrible to play through, please.
Okay, that would be mainly
be a gameplay problem.
Better gameplay and stuff like that, and that wouldn't need to necessarily update the story.
Yeah, I'm not really vibing. I guess I'm just not vibing this notion of having to like reinvent an already good wheel. Right, especially if you're going to redo the first Splinter Cell game, because the first Splinter Cell game is a pretty tight game. It doesn't really need you to like rewrite its story, because its story isn't told in a traditional way. There's not like the story is told kind of between mission briefings, and even then the mission briefings are pertaining to the mission as things unfold. It's not really a typical video gamey story, kind of. It's not like the traditional sense, so I don't really feel like you need to change things for a modern day audience, unless you're saying you just want to have brown people in there for the main character to shoot at. Like, you need to set it in like some Middle Eastern place or something, I guess. Maybe that. I'm gonna keep it real. I'm just saying, you want to make it so people relate. I could see them being tone deaf enough to make that, to do that.
That would be an interesting interpretation of updating it for modern day audiences. But yeah, I guess I wouldn't be much surprised if it would be essentially just let's go into the exactly opposite direction as many others. Like, let's make it more offensive.
Yeah. Like, I don't want this at all, but like that, like when they say update the story for modern day audiences, I don't have a lot of faith in what the modern day audience would want.
What's the next PR statement gonna be? Splinter Cell is not political?
I wish. Do it. Fucking do it. Press that button.
Just for the PR storm, we're here with our popcorn. We want to see what happens.
I want to see this. I need to see this. So, CD, this wasn't originally on the list, but you know that anytime there is Star Citizen news, I cannot help myself. You know, maybe I'm part of the problem.
Just a reflex.
Maybe I'm part of the problem, because I keep talking about these motherfuckers. I really should learn to just ignore them. Or maybe they should just release a fucking video game.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. So I want to make this very clear. Cloud Imperium hasn't released a product. This is important. I need you all to really understand. A actual product has not been released by Cloud Imperium. I need you to understand this, everybody. It's not like there's a, they don't have a product. I think they've done alphas. I think they've
bits
done
and pieces,
like,
so maybe a duct.
Yeah. Star Citizen crowdfunds $500 million and less than and $100 million in the last year since November.
Mm-hmm.
Less than a year,
yeah.
$100 million, CD.
Mm-hmm.
$100 million in less than a year.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not like.
And that is how many years after the Kickstarter? Almost 10? Uh-huh. Yeah, the Kickstarter started out, what was it exactly? It did run from.
I just want to take a quote here from this article. Mm-hmm. Star Citizen creator Christopher Roberts said in 2020 that the various gameplay elements promised over the years aren't pipe dreams, and they wouldn't take decades longer to be implemented. I'm not.
We've almost reached the 10-year anniversary of the Kickstarter.
There's no way this game comes out. CD, listen.
Not in the originally intended way. That's certainly not going to happen. Because this changed so much over the years.
This is borderlining on Duke Nukem Forever levels of stupidity. But yeah, I just wanted to bring that up because, as you know, Cloud Imperium lives rent-free in my head, whether I like it or not, whether you like it or not, and whether people who listen to the show likes it or not. They live rent-free in my head, and I will never, never not mention them whenever they pop up in the news. I don't care. They're getting mentioned. So let's talk about leakers. A 17-year-old reportedly arrested over a GTA 6 hack. The London police announced hacking arrest. Journalist says youth suspected in breaches of Rockstar and possibly even Uber.
Mm-hmm. Interesting combination.
Yeah, very interesting. Earlier this week, Uber revealed that a number of its employee accounts were compromised recently, saying it believed the hacking group Lapsus was responsible with the same culprit reportedly behind the Rockstar breach. Uber said it was So I'm going to be really honest with you. If a 17-year-old was in any way, shape, or form actually involved in these giant companies getting their shit stolen,
uh-huh,
I'm going to have to ask you, how safe is your shit really?
Yeah, that's... You have to wonder there, don't you?
Like, we're borderlining on, like, a hobbit sneaking into a dragon's den and taking a rock. If a hobbit can sneak into your house, nigga, and take your shit, how secure was your shit to begin with? I'm gonna put it out there. I don't think that's unreasonable to bring that up. If a 17-year-old, if a team of teenagers had the sophistication to break through your security or exploit your security and take your shit.
Yeah, it's always the question, what exactly was his attack vector? Did he get some software on one of the computers and one of the people was stupid enough to click a link or whatever.
We've seen,
because that still happens far too often.
I think we covered a story,
phishing mail or something like that.
We covered a story a while back about someone who was able to buy like authentication cookies, and then they got onto like their Slack. They got onto like the company's Slack, and then had them reset the password for them as employees, and then they were able to get access.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen a variety of different ways. We had, I think it was NordVPN or one of them, where like they got through a node that wasn't updated.
Yep.
Still had the default password on it or whatever, and they were able to
either get Nord or ExpressVPN, whichever. Yeah. But yeah,
we've seen a variety of ways. Mm. But again,
yeah. But most often, it's the human factor is the weakness.
But again,
very often,
if you're getting exploited by a 17-year-old,
thing is, on the internet, no one knows you're a dog.
Yeah, that's true. It's just, I guess I'm a little jaded here, because, like, if I was getting robbed and I found out the dude who robbed me was a 13-year-old kid. He really finessed the shit out of me, bro. I'd be like, "Well, shit, I can only
be mad at myself for that."
Yeah, I got caught. I want to be mad at you, kid, for getting me, but
yeah,
I
but if it's you that gets hacked, you're the victim, and in this case, there's a few more victims in this whole thing. Yeah, there's a bit of a bigger problem here.
Yeah, especially if like he's like breaching like Uber and other places. If his group is breaching Uber and like other places and just taking shit, that's mildly impressive. It's impressive. In the same,
not good, but impressive. Yeah.
Yeah, like I don't necessarily have to approve of what you're doing to look at what you did and go, "That's impressive, kid. Damn, that's not good, but damn."
Yeah, if he did that at that age, he certainly has some kind of career in his future, positive or negative. That's yet to be seen.
Yeah, the future and a career.
Yeah, his future. Could be interesting.
But yeah, I just felt like that should be brought up as a story for this week. Is there anything else? You know, I'm gonna highlight this one tweet from Colin Moriarty that you posted. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It ain't often that someone just drops a tweet like this with the level of spice. The level of spiciness to the palate that I have to withstand. It hit my palate and I'm like, spicy. I'm going to read this tweet verbatim. Sean Layden is a wealthy, talented pro who could work anywhere. He chose Tencent, a CCP-infested company he will now help normalize. We hope the money is worth it. Damn.
Yeah.
And the picture, though. The picture on that tweet, though. That picture, though. Oh.
Yeah. Ooh.
Somebody get me a glass of milk, because this is spicy.
A big one.
Ooh.
Big gulp.
I felt that. I didn't just taste that. I felt that. In I felt that in my bones. I actually physically felt that. That was tough. You know what's difficult now, CD? We were gone for a week, though the viewers don't know that because the show has not lapsed a week. And we went through this entire show. We did not talk about a single interesting thing that happened during that week. Because there was some interesting shit that went on during that time while this show wasn't airing. I'm going to just point out a couple. One, video game speculators who were hoping that their investment in Suikoden 1 and 2 was going to continue skyrocketing.
We're in for a bit of a shock there.
Woo. Never.
Whoopsie.
Never thought I would be on this weird side of the speculator chain where I could potentially be speculating, and I'm happy that speculators just got the shit kicked out of them, because, oh boy, Konami did a good. I mean, law of averages, they were bound to do at least one good at some point.
Yeah, I mean, their classic collections have been nice overall.
They announced Suikoden 1 and 2 HD, Gate Rune, and Dunin Unification Wars, coming to Switch, PlayStation, Xbox, PC, and I guess...
The lot.
I mean, I guess by definition it's going to be on the Steam Deck, so, you know.
Well, yeah.
also, Like a Dragon 8 was announced. Where is it? Like a Dragon Ishin was announced. Tekken 8 was announced. Like a Dragon Gaiden, the man who erased his name, was announced. Oh my god, see, there were so many tasty things. GoldenEye 007?
Yep.
Is a thing?
Mm-hmm. For one, the N64 version is now on Switch, or I think soon, I'm not sure of the date. And the HD version for Xbox has been announced. Yeah.
There was some juicy shit that went on.
And I think the Judgment games have also been shadow dropped on Steam. Which have before been said to have been blocked by licensing issues from
talent agencies.
Japan, the talent agency. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And then just suddenly... Sega says, here they are.
It's like, we'll deal with that, gentlemen. Don't worry about that. We'll just,
it's been dealt with. Here you go.
I didn't talk about this because I don't think it came up during this. So during all this madness, Tales Symphonia was announced to come out for like Switch and other platforms.
Yeah, the quote-unquote remaster.
And I astutely pointed out the issue I have with this version in that it is not based off. So the big issue I had with the PS3 launch of this game when it was initially released for PS3 as a remaster was that it was based off of the PS2 version, which the PS2 version of Tales of Symphonia only ran at 30, whereas the GameCube version ran its battles and such at 60. Obviously, having played Tales game CD, you of all people will understand how undoable it is to play a Tales game at less than 60. I don't think... It is not fun. It is not fun. 60 FPS or death. I don't care. So, when they announced that this was coming to Switch, I was like, fantastic. You guys have the GameCube. The GameCube version should be easy. Just bring that version over.
Should be.
And we'll be fine. It's not the GameCube version. It is still the PS2 version. It's still at 30 FPS. Why the fuck are we still doing this to ourselves? And like you said, there are plenty of other Tales games that could use a remaster than Tales of Symphonia for like the second, third fucking time. We don't need another Tales of Symphonia. I would love Tales of Graces F, Tales of Zillia, you know, Tales of Hearts that came out only for the Vita. You know, I'd like to see that.
Yep.
We don't need this one. Please, please stop. I think you're drunk.
And especially calling this one remaster when there's no discernible difference to the Steam version.
And you can patch the Steam version to run battles at 60 FPS, so, you know.
That too. That too, but just the naming difference is just why.
I wish. I wish. Mm-hmm. Please stop. And before I wrap up this show, my girl, my thick-thighed alchemist, is getting her third game, everybody.
Yes.
And they didn't make her any less thick, purists. You Puritans. She's still thick. She is still super thick.
If anything, even thicker.
They just keep making her thicker despite your protests. Makes me so happy to say. Best news, honestly.
The trailer looked fun. I'm not sure what the second part has in terms of traversal options through the world, but this one really looks nice. Like riding on dolphins, just gliding through the world, floating through the water. That looks really nice.
So yeah, that's all there is. That's all I got for you, ladies and gentlemen. Whether you like it or not, thank you for listening to the show. As always, our show can be found on a variety of platforms ranging from Apple, Google, and even Spotify. And our video show is posted every single Sunday along with it on our YouTube channel of the same name, The Turn-Based Cynics. You can find us every Sunday, lest I have to eat a shoe. I don't want to eat the shoe. I'd rather not eat the shoe. But if I fuck up, I will have to eat the shoe. So do me a favor. Listen to the show. Maybe I can convince people not make me eat the shoe if I fuck up. I'd appreciate that. That would be fantastic. As always, everybody, hope you all have a fantastic week. I'm excited because Trails from Zero comes out this Tuesday. So I am looking forward to jumping on that. So
review's been good.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to finally jumping in on that, getting my feet wet before I eventually decide to start the Trails franchise on my channel and lose all of my life. All of it.
Mm-hmm. Hundreds of ports per game.
At this point, CD, it's all sunk cost. It's all sunk cost fallacy, CD. I'm too invested now. In any case, everybody, have a fantastic week, and we will see you all next time.
See ya.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantastic, CD. You did it. We did it. I'm going to go grab myself some food, because all I've had today was breakfast.
It's about time.
I'm a little overdue for lunch. I'm gonna grab myself some breakfast. I'm going to edit this show.